just after I joined the temple, just the very first days I joined, I saw there was one temple, one devotee. He was chanting and chanting and chanting, going on and on and on chanting. So I asked him why. He said, well, I was sick, I'm just recovering now, so I missed so many days of rounds, I'm catching them up. So sometimes devotees, they may, due to sickness or some other reason, miss many days of rounds even. But then it's good to gradually catch them up. Well, generally civilized people sit down and take a meal. They don't just pop pieces of food into their mouth now and then. That's a modern or a ledger habit. But it may be that just like one visits a temple and some prasad is given in the hand, and then one can place in the mouth just to respect that. In such a case, if one takes a very small piece, then one can, for anyway, before one performs activities such as cooking or worshipping on the altar, one should perform archanam. So that may be done for purification. Yeah, it's not a standard process to have tattoos like that. The shastrically recommended process is to apply daily tilak with Gopi Chandan, and one may also apply the names of the Lord with tilak also. Shastra also states that initiated devotees should have the marks of the Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, the conch shell, disc, lotus and club burned on the body, but in our sampradaya we don't do that. Yeah, it's part of the initiation, right? So some devotees do. It's not the worst thing in the world. If that was the worst thing people did, we'd be happy. But, you know, it's another one of those like dovetailing your desires. Well, if you have hope that in millions of lifetimes you can attain praying, that's good. I'm hoping that in millions of lifetimes I might attain to anatta nivritti. So you're ahead of me. Anyway, we should keep on trying. We should have hope in the mercy of the Lord and His devotees. I just happened to have this. We're singing this "E Baro Koruna Korob Narottam," so just the song following that in this songbook is very much relevant in this regard. Narottam Das sings, "Kirupe Paibo Sheva Mui Duracha." How can I attain devotional service? I'm such a badly behaved person, rascal. Sri Guru Vaishnavi Rati Na Hoelo Ama. The attachment to Guru and Vaishnavas did not awaken within me. Yeah. Ashish Mayate Mon Mogon Hoelo. My mind has become absorbed in unlimited Maya. Vaishnavete Leshmatra Rati Na Jamila. Says the same thing. Even slight, very slight attachment to Vaishnavas did not arise or take. Vishoye bhuliya onda hoino divanishi. Become day and night, I am blind, forgetting my actual position, being absorbed in sense gratification. Gole fangshe dite fire maya she pishachi. And the maya, who is like a witch, has place a noose around my neck, and in this way I'm rotating in Maya. Ihare kariya jai charan na jai. So I don't see the way to conquer over this, to overcome this, to get rid of this. Shadhu kripa binar ar nahi kupai. Without the mercy of devotees, no other way. Adosh daroshi prabhu potit udha. Eba narotame koroha nishta. Narottam Das says that being one who doesn't see faults, O Lord, pick up this fallen person. Now, this time, save Narottam. So we're in a hopeless position. Our only hope is to get the mercy of the Vaishnavas. That doesn't mean that we should make a point of being fallen. We shouldn't attempt to deliberately be fallen. We should show that we're serious to get the mercy of devotees by acting in a manner that is pleasing to them. Otherwise we become like, for instance, Christians who they simply keep the picture of Jesus and say, we believe in Jesus, but they don't follow his instruction. Prabhupada, he criticized Christians that they simply say they believe in Jesus, but they don't follow his instructions. So we shouldn't be like that. We should simply say, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Gurudev, and not follow the instruction. Okay, let's go on. There's so many questions. Yeah. What a horrible society we live in. You can decide to protest if there's any hope that people might, the other people on the bus might agree with you, throw you off the bus. Otherwise, what to do? Put your head down and chant your rounds. Cover your eyes, do something. Well, at least we should have some concept of what it means, otherwise we can't, there's no hope of us trying to do so. Who asked that question? Smita Krishna Das has asked this question. Well, it's just like if you're in one room and you hear some people in the next room speaking and they say your name, all of a sudden you become attentive. What are they saying? You become very interested to hear what are they saying about me. You don't want anyone to disturb you because you're listening to what they're going to say. So that gives some idea what it means to be attentive while chanting the holy names of Krishna. If we have that much eagerness to hear, we can actually be attentive in chanting japa if we're also attentive to hear the message of Bhagavatam. Bishwaya charya shiroshe mojiya. When we give up desires for sense gratification, then we can become absorbed in the rasa of bhakti. Yeah, there are different tunes to be sung at different times of the day, which complement the, I guess you could say, the psychic ambience of that particular time of day. Certain ragas are prescribed at different times. So there are certain ragas for certain times of the day. Certain ragas can be sung at any time of the day. Some are suitable for when it's raining, and there are some just to complement the feeling of the time. So this is part of the whole science of music, which is pleasing to Krishna. in Mangalarti, Prabhupada was very insistent that the correct tune be sung. Several times he stopped devotees singing. He told them, stop this, sing the right tune. So it's very simple. I shouldn't sing at this time, but I will just to instruct. So the tune we sing the Hare Krishna mantra in is the same tune as we sing Gurvashtaka in. Yeah, in Mangalarti. Samsara Dava Nalalid Hare Krishna Hare, just like that. And in the evening at Sandhya Arati, the same tune is Jayo Jaya Go Hare Krishna, like that. It just follows the same tune, that's all. Well, the question of purification only arises if there are bad qualities. If there are no bad qualities, then where's the question of purification? So, if we have faith in the process of bhakti, then the process of bhakti will purify. If we don't have faith in the process of bhakti, then there's no hope. We cannot actually purify, but we can follow the process and pray for the mercy of Hari Guru and Vaishnava, that they will purify us. They will be pleased upon us and give us their mercy. Love is not a function of the intelligence. It's intelligent to love God.
It is.
It is, certainly. It's intelligent to resolve that I should love God. And one who loves God can use his intelligence to serve him. But love is not a function directly of the intelligence. That is a function of the heart or one's intrinsic being. And how to? Well, the question doesn't really come how to. If we're thinking how to, then there's no question of love. And Mother Yashoda doesn't think, well, I should love Krishna. That's spontaneous heart's feelings. But these feelings are cultivated by intelligently following the process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti given to us by the Acharyas, who all they're all spontaneous lovers of Krishna, and they've given us this process to help us awaken our loving feelings for Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Shadda Kabunoi Shavanadi Shuddha Chitte Kariye Udva. You know that verse? Can you give the translation? No. It means that love for Krishna is eternally present in every person. It is not some quality to be developed from outside. It's not that you can take table tennis coaching or yoga coaching or learn how to type. It's something you can learn. But love of Krishna is not something to be learned. It is the natural quality of the soul. But that at the present time is covered over and can be revived by the process of bhakti yoga, beginning with hearing about Krishna. Yes, Shravana, process of bhakti yoga beginning with hearing. No, well, the absolute truth is cannot be covered by Maya, but from our perspective it may appear to be so. Just like the sun cannot be covered by clouds, the sun is far greater than the cloud, but from our tiny jiva's perspective, this cloud appears to cover the sun. Well, there are Bhagavats, Mahabhagavats, Mahabhagavata, Mahan. There are gradations even among pure devotees. So all devotees are great, but still some are particularly famous for their degree of bhakti. We can achieve the complete perfection of life simply by glorifying the great acharyas. We have on the altar Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Gaura Keshava Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has written Parampara Jano Bhalo Mate. We should very well know what is Parampara. It's not possible for us to fully understand the qualities of these great devotees, but we should try to understand what is their greatness and try to glorify them. Our lives will become successful by doing so. One time Prabhupada wrote that the purpose of this Krishna conscious movement has been founded to preach the glories of Srila Jiva Goswami. Great Vaishnava. Used for, you know, great footballer, great politician. The greatness of a Vaishnava is totally distinct from the greatness of any worldly quality. Brahma, not Brahmana. Saguna and Nirguna Brahma. This is a Mayavadi idea. Mayavadis say that Brahma, the absolute truth, is ultimately without qualities, nirgun. But sometimes the absolute truth, which is without qualities, nirgun, manifests as sagun. And thus they say sagun Brahma has various avatars like Krishna and Mahatma Gandhi and Sai Baba and like that. So they say that the deity, they say, is Sagun Brahma. So in this way they say that this is not the highest manifestation, but it's a manifestation of Brahma. But the highest manifestation is Nirguna. They say that Krishna is a representation of the absolute truth, which ultimately has no form or qualities. Yeah, Sanskrit is Devanagari. Deva means the demigod. Deva also means God himself. Anyway, it depends where you are in the spiritual world. There's different languages in different places. Sanskrit is an eternal language in which the Supreme Lord is glorified. The village people of Vraja, they speak the Prakrita, or the simple village language based on Sanskrit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his manifest pastimes spoke Sanskrit and Gauriya Bhasha. Gauriya Bhasha is what they call Bengali. Anyway, you don't have to learn them to enter the spiritual world. You can learn it when you get there. There's an amusing thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, was a young boy. He was taken away from home by a sannyasi and he was traveling with him all over India. And he eventually came to Mathura, where the language there is more or less Hindi, you could say. So at one point, understanding that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was beginning his Sankirtan pastimes in Navadvip, Nityananda Prabhu decided to journey from Mathura to Navadvip. So eventually they met in Navadvip. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityananda Prabhu that, "I knew you were coming, I saw you in a dream, but I couldn't understand what you were saying." So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati comments that he couldn't understand what he was saying. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu couldn't understand what he was saying because Nityananda was speaking in Hindi. They didn't get it. They didn't follow. Well, how serious are you? One can become fully perfect by chanting the holy names, taking prasadam, associating with and serving the Vaishnavas. Not everyone will be a great intellectual. Not everyone can be a great intellectual, but everyone should try to understand the philosophy. Sometimes devotees who are not intellectual, they have a better grasp of the basics of the philosophy due to their sincerity. But one should not think that, well, I don't need philosophy because I'm not inclined toward it. Siddhanta alashyan anartha tacharena. Those who are negligent in the matter of understanding the philosophy or the conclusions of Krishna consciousness, they cannot give up anarthas. So actually this philosophy, understanding this philosophy is not a function of the intellectual or non-intellectual mundane mind. It is a function of the soul. If one listens to classes, that is good. Listen to classes. But unless one can discriminate between what is the proper understanding of Krishna consciousness, how to act properly in devotional service, and how, what to do and what not to do, then we're always in a dangerous position. Prabhupada sometimes got fed up with it too. Tell how many photographs do you want? Once one devotee was taking so many photos, Prabhupada chastised him so much. He would always tell him, "Enough, enough, enough," but he'd go on and say, "Oh, I've got to get such a nice pose, I've got to get some more." And then Prabhupada chastised, this Bhargava Prabhu, Prabhupada chastised him so strongly. Bhargava his name was. It was an evening program, and he was chastised so strong, he left the program, and he didn't know what was going on. His mind was spinning, and he just wandered the streets all night. And then after some time, he noticed, "Oh, the whole night's gone. Now it's morning time." And then he went back to the temple, but he didn't go to the class because he thought, "You know, I've offended Prabhupada so much. Prabhupada doesn't even want to see me." Then after the class, Prabhupada asked, he called, "Where is Bhargava? You didn't come to the class." So he called for him, and then he said, "Why didn't you come to the class?" He said, "You know, I'm so offensive." He said, "No, I just didn't want you to take so many photos, that's all. Just listen to the class. So maybe you can take a few photos, but it's good to actually join in the kirtan, listen to the class. Hearing is more important than seeing." An eternal life. One of four of the subjects of Bhagavad Gita. Well, in different lists also. Well, not with linear logic, that's for sure. The example can be given of the sun and the sun rays. If we if we pretend that the sun is eternal, the sun is always existing, at least as long as this universe is existing. The sun rays, they also exist along with the sun. They're simultaneously existent with the sun, but at the same time, the source of them is the sun. The sun creates the sun rays. They're always existing along with the sun, but the sun creates the sun rays. Prabhupada writes in one purport in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that even though they don't follow rules and regulations, because somehow or other they chant the names of Gauranga and Nitai, they're benefited by doing so. The position of the Prakriti Sahajiyas is better than that of the Mayavadis, because even in a distorted way, they accept that Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. Still, we shouldn't be Prakriti Sahajiyas. We should be Aprakriti Sahajiyas. Sahajiya, Sahaj means that which is natural or easy. So those Prakriti Sahajiyas, they mix up the natural path of bhakti with that of the material nature. And in that way, they resemble Mayavadis. So pure devotees, they are aprakriti sahajiyas. They're naturally and situated in pure devotional service on the transcendental platform. And for them, performing bhakti is very easy. Hare Krishna. Well, I don't think everyone in Gauriya Math is dedicated to breaking the regulative principles. If that's implied, that's a bit of an exaggeration, to say the least. Whether in Gauriya Math or in ISKCON or in if one attempts to serve the Vaishnavas in any way, one will be benefited by doing so. Although, of course, if one is serious to make spiritual advancement, one has to follow all the regulative principles. If someone is saying that we don't have to follow the regulative principles, then they're not a member of the Gauriya Math started by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That's for sure. At least in India, I didn't come across anyone who says that, although maybe in Russia it is like that. Well, what do you mean by normal? What you consider normal might not be normal. What might be normal in one culture might not be normal in something else. But anyway, brahmacharis and sannyasis means in Vedic culture. So in Vedic culture, then it's specifically stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that the young brahmacharis in the Gurukul, they would be under the Gurukul means the guru is generally grihastha with his wife. So it said the brahmacharis, they shouldn't allow the wife of the guru to massage them if she is young. They shouldn't allow her to massage unless if she is young. Because the brahmacharis, they start off as young boys, 7-8 years old. So the wife of the guru is like a mother to them, but gradually they'll get older. The boys will get older, and just to avoid any untoward incidents. Because matra swasra duhitrava na vivikthasano bhavet balavan indriya gramo vidvang sana pikarshati. That's even if one is a learned scholar, he should not sit close to his mother, sister, and daughter, because the senses are so strong that one may be attracted. So that stated one should, the brahmachari shouldn't allow her to massage if she is young, maybe if she's older. It suggests that if she's older, it's allowable for a brahmachari. And in traditional Vedic culture, sannyasis don't accept massage from anyone. So there's no question of sannyasis. That one devotee was telling me that there was some lady was just by touching was healing, and then suggested to Gopal Krishna Maharaj, and he said, "I'd rather die than be touched by a woman." So that devotee was appreciating the he was appreciating that quality of Gopal Krishna Maharaj's strictness in sannyas. So one might think, well, it's better to be healthy. Sometimes you have to choose between different principles. I mean, I know some sannyasis, they may be very tired and then not come to, due to preaching or traveling, they may be very tired and then maybe not come to the Mangalarti or the temple programs because they think, if I'm going to come, I should be fresh and alive and enthusing to the devotees. So they might want to come just when they're in full form. And others may come even if they're very tired, just to show others that, well, you shouldn't miss the program. So is it normal for ladies to massage sannyasis and brahmacharis if they're sick? Well, it's not normal in traditional Vedic culture. I don't know if it's normal in modern culture. Personally, I'm not into it. What do you want to do there? Create a revolution? Not a very good proposition. Can't understand the question? I don't understand. You'd have to ask him for what he means. No, if they get the timing right, I can do it, but timing's all wrong. Let's take one point at a time.
Yeah.
We should distinguish between mundane emotions and spiritual emotions. Sometimes according to the modes of nature one has acquired, a person may appear to be very jolly. Although often you'll find that the people who are jolly by nature, they're actually inside, they're miserable. Or sometimes people are very jolly by nature, that can just change in a second and for nothing they become very angry. Whereas a Vaishnav may apparently be not happy but is always happy. Brahma bhuta prasannat mana shochati na kangshati. The one who is on the transcendental platform is always happy. He's neither hankering for anything that he doesn't have or lamenting for something that he lost. Once a devotee was seeing a picture of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada looked actually very morose, And the devotee pointed that out to Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, in this photograph you look very sad. Prabhupada said, you don't know, that was a moment of ecstasy. And what's that about? It's difficult to be happy when we always see our faults. Well, why always see our faults? Why always think about yourself? Think about Krishna. We should be happy knowing that Krishna is so merciful that even though I'm so fallen, He gives us the chance to serve Him through the parampara. I'm so fallen, I'm so rotten, I'm so... You go on like this and it's always I. Where's the question of Krishna consciousness? Just like this song we were singing of Narottam Das, he's saying, I'm very fallen, but I have hope in the Vaishnava's mercy. Then, anything more?
Yeah.
You can't be a disciple if you're committed to be careless and with many material aspirations. Disciple means dikkha kale bhakta kare atma samarpan. At the time of initiation, one offers oneself to Krishna. So one, it's understood we have material desires, but initiation means to make the commitment to overcome that. So one cannot please the Guru by indulging in one's material aspirations, but by sincerely trying to overcome them. Otherwise, what's the meaning of being a disciple? Well, if you're so fortunate, you have so much time, by all means. Not many books, better one or two, so we can go. Very much discursive reading is not so good. Better we concentrate, go deeply. I was speaking about that Bhagavatam Underview. It's a course by Gopakanda. I'm recommending to read all Prabhupada's books, so we might think, yeah, I'll just read them and, and finish. But reading is an act of worship. Okay, I think we'll finish there because to leave a little time for prasad distribution and so we can be on time for arati. Thank you very much for all the nice questions. Think more deeply about this sacred process of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.